Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people.
On RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Tuesday night edition of the show, 25th of January. Welcome to it, everybody. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you this evening?
You know what? I'm pretty good. Pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I spent...
The big bad COVIDs have left?
Well, they seem to have, at least for now, but I've got some friends right here in town. They've got it now for the second time.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
And they're, I assume they're vaxxed and boosted.
Oh, no.
Oh, they're not?
No.
Okay.
Nope, but they had it last summer, you know, about 6 or 7 months ago, maybe longer. Now they got it again.
Okay.
You know, but hey,
right.
You know, it is what it is. And, but they're doing okay. You know,
I'm assuming it's the mild or Omicron.
Yeah. That's what they were told. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, so they're doing all right. And, but I spent a gratuitous amount of time today, watching old Meatloaf videos and old Louis Anderson videos.
Sort of to honor them.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was obviously a huge fan of Meatloaf, and mm-hmm. I was a fan of Louis Anderson. I thought that guy was hysterical.
Ah, well, I spent yesterday 10 hours watching a show that my husband, my brother, few other people told me I have to see. I'm not a TV watcher, folks. I'm really not. But this, they said you had to. You'll get hooked on this like you were hooked on Lost. Okay? I said, fine. Resident Alien. It's on the Sci-Fi Channel. It's absolutely terrific.
Diane tells me this yesterday. She goes, you wouldn't believe what I did today. Well, like, well, I probably wouldn't, but what'd you do? She said, I watched 10 hours of Resident Alien. And I'm like, that's a great show. Diane says, you've seen it? I'm like, yeah, I've seen it. That guy,
funny.
That guy that plays the alien is great.
Fantastic actor. I've never seen him or heard of him before.
No.
But that guy deserves an Emmy or whatever they give for the TV shows. I mean, he is fantastic. And the whole premise of the show is something that Craig and I basically are into. And one day we might do a show about it.
We might. But I'll say this, okay? You know, here it's on the Sci-Fi Channel. And it's a science fiction comedy drama. Right?
Mm-hmm.
On my planet, we call that a documentary.
Ah, okay.
That's what we call that on my home planet. We referred to that show as a documentary.
As a documentary. Okay. Yeah.
Just, and anybody out there who's seen Resident Alien is hysterically laughing right now.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I have not really watched a show consecutively since Lost. Very rarely do I turn on the TV, except because I have so many news feeds coming in all over the place.
Right.
But for some reason, it was freezing cold yesterday here in Florida. Freezing cold for us.
Wow, wow, wow.
Didn't dare venture outside. And I'm like, all right, you've bothered me so long to watch this. Okay, turn it on. After the second one, I was hooked.
Yeah, it does that to you. It's a great show. It really is a lot of fun.
And
so.
Season 2 starts tomorrow at 9 o'clock. I was hoping that it wasn't tonight, like my husband originally thought.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. Okay, folks, look, we got a lot of stuff to cover tonight. Diane, you've got the infamy that was 2021, the hope that is 2022.
Yes.
Okay, and I've got 2022 and beyond.
Yeah, you sort of pick up where I left off.
Yeah. So, you know, this is going to be a very interesting show. We're going to cover a lot of ground. But first, we got a couple of things that we got to talk about. Let's start with Joe Biden yesterday calling White House correspondent from Fox News, Peter Ducey, a stupid son of a bitch.
But the best part of it was all Steve Ducey asked was a simple question. He said, Peter, do you think inflation is a political liability ahead of the midterms? Now, Ducey must have forgotten that he's dealing with a man that doesn't really have all his capacities there.
Doesn't have all of his marbles in one bag.
Yeah, it's just not all working together. I mean, Craig is going to play it live for everybody, but this was Biden's answer. No, it's a great asset. More inflation. Now, Biden says he said it sarcastically, but it didn't come across sarcastically. So he added to it, what a stupid son of a bitch.
Now, after, you know, just minutes after this happened, Ducey is doing a live cut-in on The Five. And, of course, the producers on The Five told him what had happened, so they bring it up, right? And poor Peter Ducey is just sitting there. He's trying not to laugh. And he said, you know, we were all kind of getting shoved out of the room, and, you know, people are yelling at us to get out of the room. He said, we get out, and one of the other reporters said, did you hear what Biden said? And I said, no, what'd he say? And this other reporter says, well, he called you a stupid SOB.
Right.
And Peter Ducey says, did he actually use the letters SOB? And the reporter said, no. And
I mean, you have the clip, don't you, Craig?
I do. Should I play it right here?
Oh, this, play it right here because it's too funny.
Okay, it's a short clip. It's only about 15, 16 seconds long. And you will hear at the very beginning of it, you will hear Peter Ducey's voice. He's kind of in the background because he was, you know, off mic, but he's yelling. And he asked that question about inflation. And then you'll hear Biden's response. Here it is.
Thank you guys.
Will you take questions on inflation then?
Let's move. Thank you.
Do you think inflation is a political liability?
That's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son of a bitch.
So there it is. And, you know, so on The Five, Jesse Waters asked Peter Ducey, he says, you know, are you going to embrace this? And Ducey says, do I have a choice? And
No.
So somebody asked him, he says, well, you know, is it true? And he says, I don't know. They haven't had a chance to fact check it yet, so we don't know if it's true or not.
But it turns out Biden did say it. Now imagine, folks, if Trump had said that about, let's say, Jen Psaki or one of the, you know, one of the liberal talking heads.
Well, how about Jim
Acosta? All hell would be breaking loose.
You know, Trump did go after Jim Acosta from over at CNN on several occasions, but he never called him that. He called him a bad reporter. You know, he called CNN fake news and called Acosta a fake reporter, you know, and things like that. But he never called him a stupid son of a bitch, even though, you know, if the shoe fits, you know, what are you going to do? But, you know, then apparently about an hour later, Biden calls Peter Ducey and says, well, it was nothing personal, pal.
Yeah. You call someone a son of a bitch, but it's not personal.
Yeah, you're literally questioning their heritage at that point, but it's nothing personal.
No. Ridiculous.
Nothing personal about their DNA. But yeah, when that happened yesterday,
being a good guy, he just kind of shrugged it off and said, you know, we had a nice call. And I mean, he's not thinking anything of it. And the only reason it's news, folks, is because what if this had been Trump?
Well, exactly. And it's funny.
It is funny.
If I was Peter Ducey, I'd wear that as a badge of honor.
I'd make a t-shirt out of it.
Yeah. Biden says I'm a stupid son of a bitch.
Yeah. And wear it everywhere he's on camera.
Ooh. Wait, I got a better one for the t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Instead of Biden says I'm a stupid son of a bitch, Brandon says I'm a stupid son of a bitch.
Yeah.
That would be even better.
Or FJB says I'm a stupid son of a bitch.
Exactly. So anyway, we had to bring that up because it was just so damn funny that that we had to bring that up. Now, something that's not so funny is Ukraine. And we need to spend a little time this evening talking about the situation, what's going on over in Ukraine. As yet, nothing has happened.
No. And this is where Craig and I differ a little bit on the topic of the Ukraine. I don't believe Putin's going to attack. I think he's saber-rattling, sort of keeping Biden in his place, because this is the first time he's up against a president that's totally useless. And remember, Biden was, you know, had dirty dealings with Ukraine, him and his son, if you remember that, with their president and all that. So I think Putin is, he's making a stand for two reasons. Number one, what people are forgetting about Ukraine is Russia doesn't have oil or vast supplies of natural gas. Pipelines are running through Ukraine that he needs. That's one of the reasons, if he does eventually go in, it has to do more with that than anything else. And number two, the Ukrainian leaders themselves are not concerned about what's going on, about them amassing at the border, for the simple reason the troops are not in military formation.
Right.
And that's very key if people understand how the Russian army operates. But they're not, they are amassing, but they're not in military formation. They're not in attack formation. And the talking heads are not picking up on that. And that is very, very key.
Well, I agree with you. That is a key thing. You know, right now, Putin has Biden right where he wants him.
Exactly.
You know, and Biden is making concessions, whether you hear about it in the news or not. And, you know, another key thing that Putin wants is he doesn't want NATO to expand and include Ukraine.
Exactly.
Okay. That's and right now he's getting concessions from NATO. So really Putin is winning this thing, and you know, let's call it what it is. It's a dick wiggling contest, and Putin's in the ring with an unarmed man.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, the Ukrainians themselves, the Ukraine government, is not concerned about this at all. They're actually, one of them, Defense Minister Oleksiy Reznikov, he has said, and this is a quote, as of today, this was just a couple of hours ago, there are no grounds to believe that Russia is preparing to invade imminently, noting that its troops have not formed what is called a battle group that could force its way through the border. In fact, he actually told the Ukrainians, don't worry, sleep well, no need to have your bags packed. And Zelensky mirrored that comment,
right,
and he said, everything is under control, don't panic. In other words, I think what Russia is doing It's a dog and pony show in a way, but it's flexing muscle.
Right.
That's now, all it is. Putin got his back downs from NATO.
Well, but he's going for more.
He doesn't have to invade.
Right. You know, he wants to put, basically, he wants to put NATO to bed. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he's going to get more concessions from NATO. Now, right. I think if Putin goes in, okay, it's not going to be the kind of military invasion that Biden is talking about. You know, it's not. It's going to be more of a political invasion if he goes in. Okay? Because I think what Biden would really like, I think his ultimate goal, and whether he goes for it now or whether he goes for it down the road is yet to be seen, but his ultimate goal is to get rid of Zelensky and get that group out of power in Ukraine and replace them with pro-Russia friendly regime. Okay. So it's kind of a political regime change thing that I think Putin is ultimately after. It's not going to be tanks rolling across the border and you know, bombs going. I don't see that. I see it more as a political thing. But right now, this is one of the most interesting parts of it to me. Very few other embassies in Ukraine are closing down. We are, you know, we're running away. Well, the British have removed some of their people, but they're not pulling all of them.
No, the Germans are also removing some people.
But not all of them.
But not all of them. But Biden wants all of our people removed.
Yes. However, Biden is not going to send any help to get them evacuated.
No.
So basically what he's,
in other words.
Yeah, what mm-hmm. he's done is he's called up the embassy and said, you know, you guys need to get all the Americans out of Ukraine. We don't really have any plan to help you do it, but you just, you know, start buying some bus tickets or some plane tickets or, you know, whatever you can, you know, get passage on a fishing trawler, you know, out of the Black Sea, whatever you can do. And try to get everybody out. But, you know, if some of, you know, Americans get trapped behind, you know, quote-unquote enemy lines, we'll do everything we can to get you out just like we have in Afghanistan.
Yeah. Yeah, just like we have in Afghanistan. And that's another thing. Putin is not a stupid man, folks. Don't ever underestimate Vladimir Putin. He's very smart. Putin is not the kind of man to start World War III. And by the way, he really wants Crimea fully under Russian control more than he wants Ukraine itself. Because remember, the eastern part of Ukraine are ethnic Russians, and they already lean towards Russia. So what people need to understand about this is he's not Kim Jong-un. He's not the Iranian mullahs. He's not going to start World War III.
Right.
No matter what Biden and Psaki and all those loony Dems think, no. Number one, what people forget, people keep calling Russia a Putin, it's a communist country. No, they're actually statists. They're communists in some degree, but they're statists in another degree. And Putin also, I hate to say it, folks, he's an ultimate capitalist.
Well, yeah, when it comes to himself.
When it comes to himself.
And
he's not going to screw himself either.
Right. And that's part of the equation here, too, that I think a lot of people are missing. Right.
Right.
Ukraine is sitting there on the edge of Russia. Ukraine is pretty much full of people that speak Russian.
Mm-hmm.
And Ukraine is a democracy, and they're doing well economically.
Right.
Okay. One of the last things Putin wants on his border right now is a Russian-speaking democracy that's doing well economically. You know, he's rubbing him the wrong way. So, you know, he's got to get out there and, and flex his muscles a little bit and it's almost a show for his own people, not necessarily the people of Ukraine, you know, in that don't get to thinking that, you know, you're going to be a democratic society here in Russia, because I'm not going to put up with that crap. You know, so
he'll do it behind the scenes for his own capitalistic ventures.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Yeah, no doubt about that. Now, when it comes to the evacuation of Americans, which really don't need to evacuate at this point, but when it comes to that, now, here's something that Diana and I have been saying since before Biden even took office, okay? And we have said it, I can't even tell you, countless times since, all right? Biden's not pulling the strings here. Obama is. And if you have any doubt about that, folks, I want you to think back to when we had to evacuate out of Tripoli. Okay, all the Americans had to get out of Tripoli, right? But Barack Obama, he was the president, he didn't send any help to get them out. There were people trying to get out on ferry boats.
Right.
Okay, so this quote-unquote evacuation from Ukraine is no different than the evacuation from Tripoli. Everybody has to get out, but we're not going to send you any help. That is an Obama move. That's Obama's strategy.
Right. That is Obama's strategy. Well, you know, talking about strategy, there's a short little leap to hypocrisy. Now, Craig, guess where this came from? Quote, because it goes to a very fundamental principle of all nations, which is that our borders should be inviolable, that our sovereignty should be respected. If the international system is to mean anything, it should mean no country can change another country's borders or affect another country's government by force. And Russia, by amassing all the troops on Ukraine's border, is calling into question those very basic principles. Now, guess where that came from? And well, guess why it's hypocritical?
That came from the horse's ass itself.
Right.
Okay, that came from Let's Go Brandon, and that's hypocritical because look at our southern border.
Exactly.
Okay, I mean, he's more concerned about Ukraine's border than he is about ours.
Well, you know, there's a reason that he's so concerned about Ukraine's borders. Remember, if Ukraine goes down, they might squeal big time on Biden and his drug-addicted son.
Oh, you think?
I think Zelensky will be singing like the proverbial canary.
Well, I'll tell you something else, too. I mean, when you get right down to it, you know, part of that quote, read that part of the quote again that deals with the Ukraine border.
Russia, by amassing all the troops on Ukraine's border, is calling into question.
Okay, stop right there. By amassing all their troops on Ukraine's border. Well, guess who else's border that is? It's Russia's border.
Exactly.
Okay? I mean, it's like, you know, we've got army bases and air bases and everything else down in South Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, can't Russia put their troops where they want them? In their own country?
Exactly. They haven't crossed any border yet, folks.
Exactly. And, you know, that's kind of way, you know, here in Nebraska, we kind of feel that way about Colorado. As long as they stay on their side of the border, we're okay.
This whole situation is being blown out of proportion because, number one, we really shouldn't be involved in this. Because what would happen, all it would become for us is Afghanistan again. We have leadership that couldn't handle Afghanistan, that botched up a withdrawal. The people there are suffering now. They've been sent back to the dark ages of Islam. And is this will happen to Ukraine?
Well, there's
can
no...
Can you imagine us standing against Putin for 20 years?
Well, first of all, it's pointless. Okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, what's in it for us? Nothing.
Nothing.
You know? Ukraine, nice enough people, right? Mm-hmm. But they're not a major player on the world stage.
No.
There's really nothing in it for us. And, you know, we spent 20 years in Afghanistan for what? You know, I don't think we should spend 20 minutes in Ukraine for the same nothing.
And the only reason we spent 20 years in Afghanistan is because our troops went in there and were not allowed to do what they needed to do.
That's a big
There's
part
no
of it,
There's no reason
yeah.
we had to be there for 20 years, but Obama kind of screwed that up once he got in.
Well, you know, we can have troops there, but you can't give them bullets.
Right, and you got to make nice with the enemy.
You know, yeah, how'd that work out?
Yeah, real well.
You know, I mean, you know, this is, it's not our fight. This isn't our fight. We've got nothing, there's no strategic point to us being there.
No.
You know, and we're not there, so we shouldn't go there. I mean, that's the thing.
But Biden is sending weapons and this and that to the Ukrainians. We need to stay out of that completely. It doesn't affect us. I don't care what the talking heads say. Oh, if Ukraine falls, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. No, it's not. Putin is not a stupid man. He's not going to start something that's going to end up in World War III.
Right.
I don't care what anyone says. That's not going to happen.
You know, Putin's cozying up to Iran right now. He's cozying up to the Chinese right
China.
Now. Mm-hmm. You know, I would worry more about, let's say, Iranian terrorism striking in Ukraine than I do about Putin striking in Ukraine.
Exactly. And, you know, what people don't realize, okay, look who he's cozying up with now on the surface. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes because, remember, he's also made deals with Israel. And Israel has kept quiet on this whole thing.
Right.
When push comes to shove, the Russians are westernized people.
Yes.
The Chinese and the Iranians are not.
Especially the Iranians.
Especially the Iranians. Do you think Putin is going to in any way acquiesce to those two countries, those two governments who would kill him if they had the chance?
No, certainly not. But you know, he stands to get something from both of those countries in the form of energy supplies.
Right.
And that's the only reason he's sucking up to them. You know, it's what he can get out of them.
China has no oil, folks. China imports its oil. Iranian oil is tied up in sanctions all over the place. And that's one of the reasons Israel has stayed out of this, and he stayed out of mentioning anything about Israel, because he has deals going on with them for their natural gas. Israel has one of the largest supplies of natural gas right off its coast.
It's all the hummus.
So there's more going on here than our talking heads are telling us.
Right. And that's why we're keeping an eye on this, and we will continue to keep an eye on it. But, you know, don't get all itchy and twitchy, folks, because, you know, this is going to turn out to be, if anything, it's going to turn out to be political, not military. So.
Right. Right. There might be a political coup.
Right.
But there won't be a military coup by any means.
Right. So we'll keep an eye on it and let you know what happens. But we have gotten to the bottom of the hour. That means we got to take a bottom of the hour station ID break. About a half an hour from now, I'm going to be talking about 2022 and beyond. But before that, and right after we come back from this break, Diane's talking the infamy that was 2021, the hope that is 2022. So stay with us, folks. There's plenty more to come on Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's long-time Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at The National Patriot, Diane Sori at The Patriot Factor. If you miss any portion of tonight's show, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning. Become one of the pod people by clicking the podcast button. That's all you got to do. You don't have to sign up for anything. The show will be there.
Yes, it will.
All right, Diane, so you have taken on the infamy that was 2021, the hope that is 2022.
Yes, and we all know what a hell of a ride 2021 was, a year dominated primarily by all things COVID and COVID-related, ranging from the original jab itself to boosters, breakthrough cases, and on to mask mandates that violated our constitutional rights. And if I hear Dr. Fauci spewing one more medical lie, I think I'll just scream. And dare not forget to throw into the 2021 mix inflation now reaching a record high, job report numbers that continue to be dismal at best, store shelves empty due to cargo ships not being unloaded, violent crimes increasing from coast to coast, the fiasco that was our withdrawal from Afghanistan, and politicians more times than not selling out to the highest bidder. And all this sets the stage for what yet could become another political disaster in the making. Remember, the dead will still be voting, and Dominion voting machines will probably still be used come this November. And while these things mentioned are, or at least should be, common knowledge, and are for those of us who had our eyes wide open, coupled with us having a modicum of common sense, there does remain other issues that took on a life of their own that greatly contributed to a year most of us are glad is finally over. And while here, in this one article, there are too many such happenings to properly delve into, word constraints being in place after all, so instead I have narrowed it down to a few key issues that had me seething throughout 2021, with the entirety of the COVID fear-demic a given that I've previously written and spoken about on many occasions. So here I start instead with the overly politically driven, leftist-initiated abomination known as cancer culture. For me, cancel culture seemed to take on even more of a life of its own in 2021, as it went far beyond just statues being torn down to some of its adherents demanding, with violence as their calling card, that American history be rewritten and that our laws be changed to placate those who vehemently refuse to get over their ever sorry selves. Simply, the adherents of cancel culture remain threatened by the concepts of personal responsibility and personal accountability, for in their eyes, it's way better to blame others for their self-inflicted miserable lot in life and to receive from the government their so-called daily bread. So much better and easier than finding workable solutions to problems they alone deem as remaining unsolved. And with societal norms also falling victim to cancel culture, its partner in crime, if you will, became political correctness, with the two entities then having melded together to truly cancel out what is known as common sense. And it was all being done in an attempt to create a society where anything goes, a society where even the worst abominations were to be deemed both politically and morally correct. Does there being 57 genders ring the woke insanity bell? Does pedophilia being deemed by numerous psychologists an acceptable sexual behavior also ring that same woke insanity bell? It should. And dare we forget that all was but a misguided attempt by the left to not only create a color-blended, gender-neutral society, but to cancel out the very basis of American white society as a whole. Simply, Craig, by taking away who our founders and framers were, and by taking away who we are today, suddenly the voices of patriots, both past and present, have been marginalized, thus circling back to the left's wanting the canceling out and rewriting of American history.
Yeah, it's kind of a sad deal when you think about it. And like you say, it's happened so fast. But, you know, the cancel culture is one thing. And it, right now, it doesn't show any signs of abating. But, you know, hopefully someday it will. But yet there were other things that were going on in 2021 that in the not-so-distant past were deemed to be totally abhorrent, but all of a sudden last year they became not only tolerable, but sought after by the left.
Yeah, well, I call it the issue that was known as acceptable violence, as in rioting, looting, and arson, all being looked away from if perpetrated by Black Lives Matter and or their assorted ilk. Violence mostly against white folks, white-owned businesses, and even at times against blacks, whom BLM deemed to be Uncle Toms. And not only was said violence acceptable, but it came replete with a get-out-of-jail-free card, for no legal recourse was being taken against the vast majority of these folks. Take what you want if you think it's owed to you. In other words, think of stealing as a form of reparations, was the message not so subliminally sent by BLM sorts, who saw it as a means of getting even with Whitey for slavery sins of the past, sins not committed by or against anyone alive today. But what I felt as being even worse than this was that during the entirety of last year, few Black voices, voices of good, decent, hardworking Black Americans I'd be proud to call neighbor, Black Americans who continue to strive for, value, and cherish the same things and ideals that most of we white Americans do, Black Americans who honor and respect our flag and our country. Their voices were still being drowned out by the voices of the BLM radical few. If you don't condemn, you condone comes to mind, and is akin to those who fearfully refuse to speak out against terrorists, domestic or otherwise. And I truly believe that Black Lives Matter as a whole is indeed a terrorist, a domestic terrorist organization whose agenda is to bring white America to her knees, to have us grovel at the feet of Black America to divide the races even more, so as they continue spewing the nonsense of supposed white privilege and to try to shove the likes of critical race theory down all our throats. And Craig, when all is coupled with violent actions taken, it totally negates BLM's musings about wanting equality alone.
Well, and, you know, 2021 was also known for something else that's pretty sad. You know, we just lost that second New York City cop this afternoon that was shot over the weekend. And, you know, that's a terrible thing. And we're hearing every day more and more cops are being attacked and ambushed and shot and killed and wounded. But that didn't start a couple of weeks ago.
No. And I cannot forget that 2021 was the year that saw not only those in blue having had a bullseye tacked onto their backs, but was a year that saw 458 federal, state, tribal, and local law enforcement deaths, a 55% increase from 2020, and the highest number since the terrorist attacks of 9/11. And 2021 bore witness to an overall increase in gun violence and homicide, with 16 cities setting new homicide records, along with a steep increase in violent crime in general, most all having been committed by those whose political leanings lean decidedly to the left, most involving the perpetrators, percentage-wise, being Black. In fact, as per the latest released government figures, Blacks commit crimes at nearly three times the rate that whites do, which when broken down even further shows that Blacks commit 36% of the violent crimes here in our country, yet they make up roughly just 13% of our total population. And it's here where Black voices, other than that of BLM and their ilk, need to be heard the most. For like I said earlier, most Black Americans are decent, hardworking folks whose lives truly are being tainted by the actions of but a few. And it's way past time they realized and did something about that. And Craig, those figures that I quoted in my article, there are footnotes where you can find those figures. I'm not making them up, folks. They are actual government figures.
Yeah, it's sad, but it's true. Those are the real numbers.
Yes.
You know, I mean, and really, you got to take the 9/11 attacks. I mean, to be honest and to be fair about it, you have to take the 9/11 attacks out of it. That was an aberration. That was a single horrible day. And, you know, that was not the kind of violence we're seeing on the streets. Where cops are getting ambushed. So you take 9/11 out of it, and I shudder to think how far back you go before you get to those numbers, 458 that have been killed in the line of duty. You know,
that's true.
There's other things in 2021 that stand out remarkably because of the simple numbers that were piled up, and one of those is down on our border, right?
Yeah. Well, 2021 saw the situation at the southern border getting worse, a situation that had seen the successful immigration policies initiated by President Trump working to lower the number of illegals entering our country to their lowest level in many years. But as we all know, in Democrats' eyes, anything Trump that worked had to be removed post-haste. And in 2021, it was done so by Biden's too-quick-to-sign stack of executive orders piling up on the Resolute desk. So now as we enter 2022, we still are bearing witness to a southern border free-for-all as illegals continue to cross over in droves, with many of them being COVID-infected. And yet Biden relishes in dispersing them throughout our country. After all, he has to keep the pandemic going and does so by processing and then shipping them out via unannounced middle-of-the-night flights to mostly red states. And he does so in the hopes of turning said states blue, vote-garnering at the expense of the health, safety, and welfare of we, the American people, vote-garnering used as the method by which to help the Democrats keep their now tenuous grip on power intact. And surely something that kept me seething was that 2021 became an overt year of unbridled censorship. Censorship of not only the conservative right, that is, I should say, of only the conservative right, that is, but it wasn't just censorship of big-name Republican players or of the conservative-leaning talking heads, but censorship of we the little guy as well. Dare to criticize the Democrat sainted Dr. Fauci or call his COVID lies and hidden truths to task, and one became a social media pariah whose voice had to be silenced, or in the case of Facebook, either was temporarily suspended or had their posts moved way down in the newsfeed so barely anyone would see said truth. Book burning in action. Craig, book burning just by another name.
Okay, so we got a whole list, a whole string of 2021 things that were awful at best, right? But in the title of your op-ed, you talk about hope for 2022. Is there any?
Yes, there are. You know, and while other things that happened during the year, of course, raise my ire, but there were a few things that did give me hope that our country can be turned back to the right again, besides just seeing the Republicans taking back the House and the Senate. And that hope comes first via the recent actions of Senator Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, as well as ex-Representative Tulsi Gabbard, whom together, I believe, can actually lay the ground floor for restoring the Democrat Party to the party of JFK, a party where Democrats and Republicans once worked together for the common good of both our country and we the people as well. And second, and to me, most importantly, hope springs from the free state of Florida, of our great governor, Ron DeSantis, whose policies and strong stand against unconstitutional mandates and lockdowns can help lead the way back to a free America for all 50 states. I've got my fingers crossed. Hope you do, too.
Well, I do have my fingers crossed, but I also know this. You know, if the Democrat Party is going to go back to the party of JFK, if they're hoping to build, that new party on the foundation of Sinema and Manchin, they're on pretty shaky ground. In fact, they're about as unstable as a Parkinson's patient on a fault line, because you can't trust Manchin all the time. And we've seen that over and over again.
Yes.
You know, in fact, Manchin, while he was against killing the filibuster, he's in favor of election reforms. You know, I mean,
to a degree, we do need election reforms, but not how the left is proposing them. We need election reforms where we get in voter ID for everyone. There is nothing racist about voter ID if it goes for everyone.
Well, and that's
so that is an election reform.
Yes, it is, but the left isn't going to go for that, and I'll be honest with you. I don't think the right should either, and I'll tell you why. Because, again, that is the federal government taking over elections. Now, the Constitution is clear on the matter that the individual states run their own elections. So the idea is to get more and more and more states to insist on voter ID. But to mandate that from the federal level, I think, is as wrong as what the liberals are trying to do right now.
I'm not so sure about that. If it's blanket for everybody, meaning no favoritism for anybody, we're all equal under the Constitution. We all have to show our IDs that we're citizens. Remember, the Constitution, many times, citizens' rights to vote. The word citizens is always in there. You show something right that shows you're a citizen, I have no problem with that whatsoever.
I think every state ought to do it. Okay, but I just don't know that you can mandate that from the federal government. I'm not sure.
You might not be able to, but Manchin has come out and said that he is in support of voter ID.
Right.
And I know Tulsi Gabbard is as well. I don't know, you know, as much about Kristen Sinema, but their whole style of operation is more aligned with the old school Kennedy Democrats than it is with the progressive wing of the current Democrat Party.
Well, and that much is true, but you know, you've got two members sitting there that feel that way, and you got 48 other on the left side of the aisle that don't.
But you know, they speak up enough and they can shut up the likes of Sanders and AOC, you might be surprised how many blue dogs there really are.
I might be, but I guess maybe I've grown too cynical to believe that there's a whole bunch of them there. You know,
I'm not
a lot of them
as cynical as you are.
Well, no, but you know, a lot of them had their chance to stand up and make their voices heard when Chuckles held that vote a few days ago, and they didn't do it. So
that's
true.
That part's true.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens, you know, and you look back on 2021 as you did in this op-ed, which, by the way, folks, is under the title of The Infamy That Was 2021, The Hope That Is 2022, and you can find it in two places. You can go to thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com. Either way, you're going to find that article. So grab it, get the link, and share the link everywhere. But when you go back and look at 2021 as you did, you know, let's be perfectly honest here. You brought up a lot of key things, but you're really only scratching the surface.
Right. I didn't have enough. You know, we're held to, like I said, a word constraint, you know, for our blogs, both of our personal blogs. And, you know, writing an article, unless we're doing an investigative report where we can stretch the words
right
out, you lose people. You have to, like, put the weeds aside and go for the main things. So I picked the things that were the main things to me,
sure,
but I covered in my opening paragraph everything COVID related, blah, 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 but I just said it in a sentence or two. Word constraints, it's very, what people don't understand when the talking heads are on TV and they all sound so wonderful, they're not writing their stuff.
No. No, I mean,
except maybe the likes of Hannity and
Tucker.
Yeah, they're not writing their stuff. They're just reading off a teleprompter. Craig and I actually do our own writing, our own research. My sounding board is Craig. Craig's sounding board is me. That's as far as it goes.
Yeah. And let's take two of the things you brought up in 2021 and lump them together, COVID and the cancel culture, because now these goofy liberals in the cancel culture are starting to eat their own. Bill Maher came out a couple of days ago and said he's sick and tired of being sick and tired about COVID-19, and it's time to get on with our lives, and the cancel culture is now going after him.
Right. And they're also going, Kristen Sinema was threatened.
Right.
Remember that a few days ago?
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, this has gotten so out of control. Joe Biden is a joke. Kamala Harris is a joke on her knees. The whole administration, Pete Buttigieg wearing phony boobs so he's nursing his new adopted baby, and we're supposed, you know, he's a birthing parent. I mean, this is insanity. Remember the picture I'm talking about?
Oh,
that was,
I know,
all
I'm,
over?
I know. I'm just sitting here shaking my head laughing because
this is the Democrat Party. You got AOC, the bartender, trying to set policy for the country. I mean,
You bring up
party has so lost its way.
You bring up Kamala Harris, right? Mm-hmm. And this is kind of aside from what we're really talking about here, but it makes me wonder about something. Do you suppose the Secret Service is really watching her on a daily basis, or did they just put one of those medical alert things around her neck and hope she doesn't fall down?
I know. She's, you know, Biden has a medical condition. He might not want to admit it. His wife doesn't want to admit it because then she won't be first lady. And by the way, his wife really should be arrested for elder abuse for letting her husband go out and make a fool of himself. This whole administration is a joke. And the puppet master is sitting back laughing at all this.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
And that's Obama, folks.
You know, I mean, but you look at all these different situations, the border, COVID, cancel culture. I mean, you pick the issue, the riots, the looting, the arson. You pick the issue, cops getting killed, from 2021, and you know, here we are, almost a full month into 2022, and none of it is letting up. None of it.
Right.
You know, we go back to where we started the show this evening with Peter Ducey. And Joe Biden calling him a stupid son of a bitch because Peter Ducey dared to ask about inflation going into the 2022 election, right?
Right.
2022 is not looking good if you're on the left side of the aisle. It's looking like let's put it this way. If Custer saw it coming the way they're seeing it coming, Custer would have never been at Little Bighorn. You know, I mean, this is going to be a massacre. I can't understand why they're not at least trying to fake it, but they're doubling down on everything. The left is doubling down on everything. They're talking about spending even more of other people's money.
Right.
Well, right. That's not going to help inflation any.
Yeah. No.
I mean, good Lord.
No, it's not.
And when you think about it, Diane, all they had to do was nothing. Right. If they took over the reins a year ago and did nothing, Biden's poll numbers wouldn't be tanking, Harris wouldn't be in the toilet, the economy would be doing good, the border would be secure. I mean, you pick the issue. If they'd have done nothing, this country would be just humming like a sewing machine right now.
Exactly. And Biden would get reelected.
Yeah. You know.
So in a way, their screwing up is good, too, because now, what did they say? There was a Fox poll the other day. I think it's 66% of Americans or more say Biden should not get a second term.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it is what it is. Folks, the infamy that was 2021, the hope that is 2022, that's Diane's op-ed. You can find it again at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com. Either way, you can get the link, and we hope you share it because, you know, there's a lot of information in here. And as painful as it is to look back at last year, you kind of need to know where you've been if you're going to have any idea where you're going.
Right. You don't want to make the same, you know, mistakes, that famous line, if you don't learn from history, history will repeat itself. Unfortunately, you know, as long as the dead are voting and as long as anyone can vote, no matter what their status, history might repeat itself in the end. Fraud is a strong, you know, force.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there was a show on for several years, The Walking Dead. The liberals on Netflix, I think, are going to come up with The Voting Dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just,
they've been doing it since Obama.
They've been doing it well before that.
Yeah, probably, but it's really took the dead took on a life of their own with Obama.
Yes, they did. Folks, we got to take a break, top of the hour, get a couple of station IDs in. When we come back, one more segment to go, and I'm going to be talking about 2022 and beyond. I'm going to give you some ideas what candidates and voters need to be thinking about if they're on the right side of the aisle. Stay with us. We'll be back with more Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey with you on a Tuesday night edition of the show. Again, if you miss any part of it, just go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and there we shall be.
Yes.
All right. So, Diane, you covered 2021 and gave us a glimmer of hope for 2022. I have decided tonight that I'm going to focus on some of the things, some of the key things, again, scratching the surface, but some of the key things that I think conservative candidates and conservative voters need to have front and center in their minds as we move toward two major elections.
Yes.
All right. Now, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The 2024 GOP presidential nomination is Donald Trump's for the taking. And while we've yet to hear anything official, it sure seems as though he's going for it. Now, I'll get back to that in a bit. But before we delve into 2024, there are the 2022 midterm elections that must first be dealt with. And putting too much focus on 2024, at least at this point, would be a disaster for conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
All signs are pointing to a red tsunami this November. And it will be just that unless Republicans screw this up and snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. We cannot allow that to happen, which means that as conservatives, we need a game plan. Now, to that end, a couple of things that we and our candidates must not do is limit campaigns to simply being against the liberal Marxists and for Donald Trump. We can't even take for granted that Trump will run in 2024. What our candidates must do, and what we as conservatives must focus on, are the issues that are important to average Americans of all stripes. We cannot allow our candidates or our social media posts to venture past the tall grass and into the weeds. The economy, inflation, jobs, COVID are all top priorities for the GOP as we approach these midterm elections. Those are the things that people are talking about at the kitchen table and around the water cooler and when gathering with friends. Those are the things that affect all Americans. And those are the things that the mainstream media are sweeping under the rug. As conservatives, we have to take away the liberal mainstream media's brooms and expose those issues to the light of day. Diane, our candidates must inform the people as to the truth regarding our nation's economy, but numbers and surveys can become boring fast. And when that happens, people tune out. Candidates must save those numbers for debates and use them wisely, but for the most part, keep it simple, stupid. Rather than droning on endlessly with facts and figures that require explanations for the explanations, our candidates need to ask the voters if they feel their personal economic situation is better now under Biden than it was before Biden.
Yeah, that's a key question that they have to ask. Are we better off now or were we better off then? And until people really answer that question honestly, I hate to think of what the outcome could be.
Oh, I guarantee you, it's not a pretty picture, right?
No.
But here's the key. When you ask that question, ask it the way I just stated it. Are your personal economic situations better off now under Biden than before Biden? Don't even mention Trump's name in that line of questioning.
Right.
After Biden and before Biden keeps the focus on Biden's and the liberal Marxists' economy. And if voters are being honest, they'll say they were better off before Biden and the liberal Marxists seized power. On inflation, the question for voters is simple. Did your dollars go further before or after Biden and their liberal Marxists took over? Show pictures if you have to. What $200 bought at the grocery or at the lumber yard back in 2020 compared to what you get for the same money today? Conservative candidates heading into the 2022 midterm elections must ask those questions and show those pictures because the liberal candidate can't. Liberal candidates will tell voters that under their policies, hourly workers are making more now than they've ever made and wield more influence than they ever have before. Conservative candidates must remind the voters that in most cases, hourly jobs are part-time jobs and far too many Americans have lost their full-time salaried positions and they've been forced to take on more than one part-time job just to try and make ends meet. Conservative candidates can easily cite COVID and the liberal Marxist response and failures as primary reasons for that particular truth. Now, when it comes to COVID, conservative candidates must remind voters that freedom means finding ways to live with the virus rather than hiding in fear from the virus, and that the liberal Marxists have been twisting the numbers and lying about the science to control the American people. It would also be a great idea to remind voters that when the liberal Marxists talk about quote-unquote science regarding COVID, they're not really talking about science. What they're talking about is political science. Yet another key issue on the minds of the voters is, of course, education. Diane, thanks to COVID and the Chicken Little liberal Marxist approach to it since the beginning of 2021, parents have seen firsthand how their kids are being indoctrinated by the system run by liberal Marxists, and they're not one bit happy about it. Reading, writing, math, and science are not being taught in our public schools, and neither are courses being taught on the importance of American exceptionalism where the futures of those students are concerned. What is being pumped into the heads of students from kindergarten through college are social issues in an effort to turn those students away from what has always made this country great.
Yeah, it's very odd. You know, schools, when, Craig, when you went to school, when I went to school, even when my kids went to school not so long ago, school was teaching reading, writing, arithmetic, science. There was chemistry. There was labs. Yes, there were some shop courses, automotive courses, trade courses in general. But now, what the kids are being taught as being what they need to know has nothing to do with learning the things that prepare you for life.
No.
Instead, they're learning ridiculous things. And I think, Craig, you know a couple of them.
Well, yeah. I mean, conservative candidates, and I mean at every level, have to start shining the light of truth on what has become this nation's education system. Okay? CRT, gender warping, anti-American rhetoric have no place in the curriculum. Indoctrinating students to hate America, reject our Constitution, and believe that gender is fluid and that one's make-believe identity holds sway over scientific reality does nothing whatsoever to prepare students for success in the real world and everything to turn them into abject idiots who will simply do as their government masters dictate. What we're talking about here primarily are public schools. Public schools. And conservative candidates must remind the voters who exactly pays for our public schools. The notion that teachers, unions, administrators, school board members are better suited to decide what is shoved into the heads of students than those students' parents is absurd. Take a page from Glenn Youngkin and make educating our nation's students versus indoctrinating them a very high priority. Our conservative candidates also need to highlight every single day that our nation was founded on individual freedom and not on government tyranny. If our conservative candidates keep those key issues in mind, run on them, and explain to the voters how they intend to right the ship of state without invoking the name of Donald Trump leading into the 2020 midterm elections, that red tsunami will certainly sweep the liberal majorities in the House and the Senate out to sea. Now then, as for 2024, as I said, the GOP nomination is Trump's for the taking, but should he decide not to run, which I admit is a long shot, all is not lost. Ron DeSantis, the governor of the free state of Florida, knows how to get things done and how to preserve the freedoms that make our country great. If Trump does run, DeSantis would be a great running mate, putting DeSantis at the top of the GOP ticket in 2028. If Trump doesn't run, a DeSantis gnome ticket would be a juggernaut in 2024 and beyond. But Diane, there are some things that we have to be watchful for regarding either of those two scenarios.
Well, basically, we all know we have to be on the lookout for the likes of Mitch McConnell, you know, the old guard.
Uh-huh.
We also need to be on the lookout for some of the new guard. I won't name them, you will, who basically should take that R, erase it from the end of their name and put a big fat D next to it.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're talking about the ilk of Liz Cheney, Mitt Romney, you said it, Mitch McConnell. The GOP needs to come up and come to grips with the fact that what's needed right now is a decidedly no gray area involved put America and Americans first platform. It's no longer the Republicans against the Democrats. It's conservatives against liberal Marxists and freedom, constitutionality, and the rule of law against tyranny, dictatorships, and government-imposed mob rule. We are not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. Conservatives should not flood the primaries with possible presidential candidates in 2024. If Trump wants it, everybody else needs to back the hell off so that that message comes through loud, clear, and undiluted. If it's not Trump, the fewer the better. Let the liberal Marxists trip all over themselves, like Black Friday shoppers trying to get the last big screen TV. Let their message suffer, not ours. Our nominee needs to focus on the here and now and on the future, not the past, and present and present, I should say, the platform and intentions clearly and without compromise. The border, inflation, energy independence, foreign policy, and a return to lower taxes, less spending, and far, far less government intrusion into the lives of the American people. Put the states ahead of the federal government, as our founders and framers intended, while adding water to the lake to make all the boats float higher. Both our nominee, especially if it's Trump, and conservative voters must do one very important thing once the 2022 midterm elections are over. Let go of 2020, damn it. We all know that we got screwed. But dwelling on that takes the focus off the here and now and what we need to do for the future of this country. We can't change what happened, but we can sure as hell stop whining about it and get on with winning in 2024. Our education, our GOP on education, I should say, our GOP nominee needs to make it clear that there is a plan and outline that plan to make parents, not liberal Marxist unions and their ilk, the ultimate deciders of how our schools should be run so that students are taught how to think rather than being told what to think. And if we're able to turn the House and the Senate red this year, our GOP nominee must make it clear that laws will be enacted rather than executive orders so that it becomes much more difficult in the future to simply overturn the course that we set for the future than it has been in the past. Obviously, I am just scratching the surface here, but success breeds success. And a red wave in 2022 can stop the bleeding. A unified party, a unified message, and energized America can create a nightmare for the liberal Marxist agenda in 2024. Liberal failures on such a grand scale as we've seen over the past year have presented conservatives with the opportunity of a lifetime and afforded American and Americans' people with the chance to return America to greatness. But bumper sticker slogans and a muddy approach to either the midterm this year or the general election in 2024 could doom America forever. Conservative friends, we have one chance to get this right. Let's not screw this up.
No, let's definitely not screw this up. This is one of the most important elections of our generations. From young to old. All of us that fit in there, this is critical. Because what people don't realize, if we take back the House and the Senate, both of them with good, strong majorities, Biden, Harris, and most importantly, Obama, become politically impotent to do any more harm to this country.
I mean, it's literally slamming the door.
Yes.
You know, and look, I understand we're not, I mean, I definitely think we're going to take the House. I have high hopes that we're going to take the Senate, but we're not going to have a 60 vote majority in the Senate.
If we take the Senate,
we'll have a couple of votes, but we can't be dilly-dallying around with that. And the important thing there is to remember the House controls the purse strings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we can put an end, if we take the House, we can put an end to a lot of this nonsense spending that is driving inflation into the stratosphere.
Right.
You know, but right. But let's not be satisfied with that. You know,
well, the Senate's very important with the world situation now, like Ukraine and with China talking about invading Taiwan and all of this stuff. The Senate is the ones that do the treaties, the wars, the international stuff that we really need to keep abreast of. So we do need to take back the Senate, where even if Kamala Harris was forced into position of having to cast a vote, her vote wouldn't matter. We need to render Biden, Harris, and Obama completely politically impotent.
Well, and not just them either. I mean, look at people like Pelosi and Schumer. You know, we need them to go. We need them out of the seats of power. You know, now Pelosi is crowing like she's not going to retire. It's yet to be seen. I think if she gets shellacked, I think if there's a giant red wave, and I think there's going to be in the House, she'll be a political nobody.
Well, she won't be Speaker of the House anymore, and that right there stops her nonsense.
Right, but I think if that happens, I don't think she wants to go back to being just another House member. I don't think that's in her cards. I don't think it's in her DNA. She's drunk on power when she's not drunk on booze, and I don't think she can deal with it. I really
don't. She'd stay minority. She'd probably still be voted in as minority leader.
I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. She has messed this thing up six ways from Sunday.
True.
And I think the House is done with her, and I think if they lose control of the House in a big way, and I think they will, I think she'll pull the plug and walk away. I really do.
Please, Nancy, don't walk here to Florida. The people at Jupiter don't want you, and we in Florida don't want you.
I thought she bought a house down by you. I thought she was going to be your next door neighbor or something.
I'd move.
Yeah, if you see a U-Haul backed up to Diane's house, it's because Pelosi's coming.
I'd be out of this part of Florida completely. I'll never leave Florida, but I'd be out of this part of Florida.
Get as far away from that old crook as you can.
I know.
You know, holy moly. But
well,
you know,
Craig, we're not exactly on her fond list, to put it bluntly.
No, I did not get a Christmas card from Nancy Pelosi
Either
this year.
I
was sorely disappointed, but I didn't.
Yes.
But I mean, you know, she needs to be out of power. Schumer needs to be out of power. Bernie Sanders, you brought him up a little bit earlier in the segment. You know, people like that, enough is enough. Then you got the ilk of the squad, and they just need to sit down and shut up.
But you know what? The people in their districts, I'm sorry to say it, they're not smart enough to figure out that these people are actually hurting them.
There's a lot of truth in that.
They just aren't. They're not. They don't have the common sense. They will keep voting those people in. They have to be made politically impotent just by our sheer numbers.
Right, and that's what I'm hoping. That's what I see. That's what I see coming. You know,
I do too. But Craig, we still, I'm sure, going to be using Dominions, and the dead are still going to be voting. I don't put anything past the Democrats.
I don't either, but I'll tell you what. You know, they know they've got themselves painted into a corner right now, and we know that because 28 of them have already, from the House side on the left, have already announced they're not running. They're out.
But a lot of them are still in Democrat districts. It's more important that a number of them were gerrymandered out and it's become Republican districts. That's, we got to see the percentage there.
Right. And it's going to be much lower than the other way around. However, you know, if these liberals that are bailing right now, like rats off a sinking ship, if they thought, hey, there's going to be enough voter fraud to keep us, you know, as House members, they wouldn't be retiring. So they're reading some handwriting on the wall. They're looking at the tea leaves, reading the coffee grounds, doing hocus pocus. I don't know what they're doing, but you know, for some reason, they seem to think that they've got no future in the House. They certainly have no coattails to run on. You know, there's nothing there. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out over the next several months. You know, the campaigns are going to start here in earnest very, very shortly. There's a lot of states, Nebraska included. You know, we have our primary on May 10th, and here we are. It's almost February 1st. So, you know, we're going to get a lot of action heating up. We have a congressman here who right now is under federal indictment, three counts, because he took $30,000 in the 2016, I think it was, election from a foreign donor. He's pleaded not guilty to the charges. He said he didn't know anything about it, but he's got a primary challenger, and it's a good one. You know, and I think, you know, if you've got folks, if you live in a part of the country where you've got a Republican sitting in the House or a Republican sitting in the Senate, everybody in the House is up for election every 2 years. But if you've got somebody in the Senate, even that's up for election in 2022, and they're not what you would consider a strong conservative, or somehow they are jeopardized, find somebody fast and get them into that primary, and let's primary those people out that need to be primaried out, and put solid conservatives, yeah, ethical conservatives in.
Yeah. It, look, this is probably our last chance for decades.
Yeah, we blow this, we're screwed. Done. Yeah, we blow this, yeah, we're screwed.
We are screwed big time, because the Democrats will hold on to power for generations. Think of our children, our grandchildren. It won't be the same America that we know. It's, or I should say at this point, the same America that we knew. Because right now, America is unrecognizable.
It's a mess. I mean, it's a certifiable mess.
The way to say it, it's a mess. But Biden said his first year was better than any other president. He accomplished more in his first year. I mean, when I heard that, Craig, I wanted to throw something at the TV.
Well, you know, if you, I guess if you count crapping your pants in front of the Pope and farting in front of the royal family, I guess maybe he's right. But, you know, outside of that, I can't imagine what he's talking about. And I strongly suspect he doesn't know what he's talking about either. So
probably not.
You know, The title on this commentary, by the way, folks, is 2022 and Beyond. And Diane, tell people where they can find this commentary.
On the National Patriot.
.com. Or RSPRadio1.com, either way. Right. You can go there, you can grab the link, just like you can grab Diane's, and share, and share again.
Yes.
You know, that's what it all comes down to. We hope you do. If you missed any part of the show tonight, we've covered a lot of ground tonight. And yeah, if you missed any part of it, just go to RSPRadio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and you can download the show and listen at your leisure.
Yes. And with that, Craig, I think we should just say nighty-night.
I think you're right. Good night, everybody. Have a great rest of the week. We'll catch up with you on Friday.